Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
It was the Mets missing the playoffs. I just wanted to get that off my chest.
No, you're right about that. The Mets had every opportunity, and they were given to it by the Reds. I mean, everybody was playing at the same time, so it was hard to see a causation there. But in real time, as you watched it, and the Reds ran out to a lead, and the Brewers had zero to play for. They were already locked in with the best record. Even if they end up tied with the Phillies, they have the tiebreaker. They had nothing to play for.
The Cincinnati Reds had three games against the Pirates at home, and they lost two out of three. Mm-hmm. They had three games against the Brewers, who had nothing to play for, especially by the end, and they only won two out of three. So quite frankly, we blew it. You didn't earn it. Now, with all that said, go Reds. I'd love to see you beat the Dodgers. I'd have no bitterness towards you. Now, David Stearns is meeting his makers right now. He is meeting the media. Let us go very much live to the Man from Milwaukee desk that we've created here in the Evan and Tukey studios to kind of find out what David Stearns has had to say so far. Sean, where should we start?
I think we should start on the future of the manager of the New York Mets.
Let's hear it.
Are you prepared to say that Carlos will definitely be the manager next year?
Yeah, Carlos is coming back next year.
So that has been put to rest.
Quick and easy.
Well, there's a follow-up to that now.
As we speculated.
Mm-hmm. Why is Carlos Mendoza the right person going forward?
Yeah, I believe Carlos has all the same traits and assets that I believed in when we hired him 2 years ago. And I think over the course of his tenure here, he has demonstrated that. We had a tough year this year. There's no question. We are all disappointed. We are all frustrated. Mendy as much or more than anyone else. But I still believe he's a very good manager, and I think he's going to demonstrate that.
I know there are a lot of Met fans that don't want to hear that, especially hours after the season ended and hours after Carlos Mendoza authored one of the worst managed games you'll ever see by being in a rush to pull Sean Manaea. But overall, I do agree with the man from Milwaukee. Carlos Mendoza's first year here has earned him that second chance after massive failure in year two. Now, what David Stearns needs to address and what is very important to me is what he's going to do to that coaching staff. And he'll never admit this, nor should he, but how hot that seat's going to be for Mendy next year, because quite frankly, it should be very hot.
Yes. No audio on this because it's very quick. They're going to evaluate over the course of the next week to 10 days on the future of the coaching staff under Mendy. But the next part of this is David Stearns, and we'll play these two clips in a row, has put a lot of the Met problems on their pitching staff.
I think holistically, as I look at our pitching staff, we needed to do more over the course of the season. That became that is very clear. What we were faced at the deadline, I think our fan base would actually be perhaps even more upset if we had made some of those moves. But the entirety of our run prevention unit was not good enough this year.
Entirety of our run prevention unit. interesting way to say it.
It's the way these people speak. And by these people, I mean the geeks that run baseball.
Yeah.
Our run prevention unit is doing a great job. And think about it. The ball's on me to call someone else a geek. Right. Well, guess what? He's geekier than I am.
Well, I get it because we obviously know what you're talking about. But what he's essentially saying is that there were no good options at the trade deadline. The options that we started the season with failed us.
Well, the counter to that is something Sean always says about Brian Cashman, and I think it applies better here with David. Then you didn't do a good enough job before the season.
True.
You signed Frankie Montas. I didn't sign Frankie Montas. The prior administration didn't sign Frankie Montas.
Mm-hmm.
So when you were adding pitchers and you could have signed, I don't know, Nick Pivetta or Jose Quintana or trade for Garrett Crochet. You signed Frankie Montas. So I get it, and I agree that the trade deadline did not pose a lot of great starting pitching options. Completely agree with that. Who was traded? And he's probably right. They asked for the moon if you tried to trade for Zach Gallen or whomever. But that goes back to the initial problem, man from Milwaukee. You signed David Stearns. We didn't. Okay? That's on you, bro.
Which is interesting because he was then asked what he thinks is going to be the easiest thing for him to fix about this Met team in the offseason.
Going forward, what do you see as the most fixable thing for this club?
Yeah, I mean, I'll keep harping on run prevention. Like that is where we fell short this year. It's where we need to get better. I think we will. I think that improvement can come both internally and externally. I very much believe in our player development apparatus. I believe we're developing very good pitchers. I think we're going to continue to do that, and that's going to continue to be an emphasis.
David, here's the issue, okay? The starting pitching sucked. We all know that, and you're preaching to what we already know,
right?
That run prevention wasn't good enough.
Right.
Okay?
You hear what he was saying, though. He's talking about developing pitchers.
Yes.
He's talking about his farm system.
Absolutely, and they have a great farm system.
Right.
I mean, when you look at even the three kids we saw on Beyond, no question the Mets have a good staff, but he's missing a major, major issue. A major issue. That every time I bring up, people get like pissed at me for saying, because it's like, oh, it's not true. The New York Mets in 2025 scored two fewer runs than they scored last year. And that is off of adding Juan Soto.
Yeah.
And that is off of Pete Alonso, who God knows if the man from Milwaukee actually wants to pay, having a great season. You scored two fewer runs. So I mentioned earlier, you got to have tough conversations, awkward conversations, difficult conversations. Have that conversation. Because if you are going to say, well, the Mets failed because of pitching, end of story, then you are not looking at the entire picture. Mm-hmm. You are not looking at the entire body because the offense wasn't good enough. They went to Miami and scored seven runs in three games. It's not good enough. The Saturday and Sunday against the Nationals was not good enough. Now, it's complicated, Teague. I'll be the first to tell you because you look individually and you're like, Brandon Nimmo, Lindor, Soto, I don't get it. Figure it out. But don't tell me it's just the pitching. Once we fix it, we're good. Because you didn't score enough runs. You did not score enough runs, and you can't argue it because they didn't.
And it's exacerbated by 162, where you scored zero.
Yeah, well, look at the big games down the stretch.
Of course.
What'd they do on Friday night when they needed to win?
Right.
What'd they do?
Nothing.
Even on Saturday, they ended up scoring five runs. They had three until the ninth inning.
Mm-hmm.
What'd they do against Washington the final weekend of the year? And even the majority of the year, there were too many games in which the offense went to sleep. So if he thinks it's just pitching, he's mistaken. Now, pitching obviously was a huge issue. No one is disputing that.
Right.
And the other thing about relying on just young pitching is you're taking a leap of faith because you just don't know. You need some reliability in that rotation. And right now, who's the most reliable starter in the Met rotation?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Nolan McClain?
Well, that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
A kid who's made eight major league starts.
And then after that, I'd probably say Clay Holmes.
Okay, so a converted reliever who just had his first year as a starter.
I'm being honest.
You're not wrong, Teague. I'm not criticizing you. I'm telling you that's not great answers.
I mean, I hope that Kodai Senga figures out what the hell is wrong with him. And so for next year, you're not worried about, is he going to go three innings or is he going to pitch seven? And you have no idea with Kodai Senga.
And
he gave us nothing at the end of the year to think about for next year.
David Stearns has a major issue. And it's such a major issue that isn't major, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
His major issue is when he speaks to us and fans, because I know the way a lot of people think. I know what Beningo is going to think when he hears this guy speak. I know what a lot of people are going to think. They're going to think, no matter what he's saying, he is an arrogant, smarter-than-you geek.
Right.
And that's, by the way, not fair, but I can just hear it. There isn't emotion in his voice. And I don't care about it, I'm going to be honest with you, because I'm just listening to what he's saying. And, like, I disagree with not bringing up the offense. Like, I'll argue about it, but I'm telling you right now, the way he speaks is just going to piss off a lot of Met fans. I can just feel it in my bones right now.
Yeah, because he's matter-of-fact. He's not trying to sugarcoat anything. He's just matter-of-fact telling you what he thinks the answers are.
And even
some of it is analytics, which we don't want to hear. Because as an fan or even someone just evaluating an IBO, you kind of want the emotion, and he's giving to you flat.
No, he's just giving you, well, run prevention isn't good enough. Like, I don't care about it, but I'm telling you right now, Met fans are going to hear this and be like, oh my God, this guy. Mm. And the truth is, David Stearns has to take the blame for this.
What else can he do, though? No. I mean, all he can do is take the blame.
Well, he has to, because most of the Met failures is on the horrific moves that he made.
Okay, David Stearns was asked, he's mentioned a lot about the pitching. What about this offense and what about the core? Does he foresee anything other than Pete Alonso really changing about this team going
forward? All right,
let's hear
it.
David? Dave, aside from Pete Alonso's free agency, position-wise, you guys do have a lot of people coming back and the same core that you've had for a while. Do you anticipate making significant changes to that group? I know you talked about run prevention and some suboptimal positioning.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to be open-minded on our position player grouping so that we can improve our run prevention. You know, does that mean there are robust changes? I don't know. Does it mean people could be playing different positions? Maybe. Does it mean we ask people to play different roles? Maybe. You know, a day after a season ends, I'm certainly not going to commit to what things look like in spring training or opening day. But, our run prevention this year was not good enough. And that is both pitching and defense. They go hand in hand, and we need to improve them both.
On that same vein, do you think there's something about this particular mix of players that you have that just didn't, you know, you talk about, I know it's just one step, but, you know, their inability to come back late, and that's, I know it's one step, but you were the only team not to do it. Is there something about the way this team kind of played together during some of its more crucial times?
You know, it's a very natural question because of some of those types of stats that are out there. I can tell you my experience in the clubhouse throughout this year is we had guys who cared about each other, who cared about winning, who worked hard. It's very difficult for me to explain how we were 0-70 trailing going into the ninth. I mean, that's an inexplicable stat. And I'm not going to hear him make up an answer for it.
Well, at least he was honest with that one. 0-70.
Yes, and
0-70,
and he is only team not to make that comeback. He is also saying he doesn't put that on the mix of players, which he may be right about. Who knows about chemistry? Here's my problem with the answer: he did not address the lineup. He did not address that they didn't score enough runs. He said run prevention. Our defense wasn't good enough, which he's not wrong about.
Well, I mean,
they did a lot of things bad, including defense and pitching. But I'll say it again. They scored two fewer runs this year than they scored last year.
Right.
They got shut out in game 162. Their offense wasn't good enough. So here's the code of what David is saying. Pete Alonso is either gone or he's going to DH a lot. That's what David Stearns just told
you. Well, that's what he wants.
And what I would tell David Stearns is, I get it. I'm not even going to defend Pete's defense down the stretch. I won't. He wasn't good enough. But if you let him go because you want to improve your run prevention, explain to me how you're going to replace the run production.
Oh, because Schwarber, that's how you replace it. You even told me that a week ago.
Well, that doesn't mean that's what they would do.
Yeah, but there are options for run production. It's just the issue, and he's right about this, is the starting rotation. I mean, 5 innings? That'd be amazing. How about 6, 7? Right? What are we talking about? These guys can't get the 5 innings. And so his focus has to be somewhere. Obviously, he would love, I'm sure, to re-sign Pete Alonso. Who knows how much that's going to cost? He would love to if Edwin Diaz does opt out. He probably will. Who knows how much that's going to cost? But their starting pitching after a certain point, let's call it mid-July, was abysmal. Abysmal. And it was not trustworthy until you brought the kids up, and it was too late at that point. And only really one of them was elite as often as you needed them to be. So how are you possibly correcting this if, as he says, your run, what do you call it?
Run prevention.
Run prevention?
Yes.
Doesn't get better.
Yes.
He has to focus on something. And maybe if he's wrong about it, then he's wrong about it. But he's got to focus on something.
I am very curious what he's going to say about Kodai Senga, because I have surmised over the last 2 weeks that the Mets are done with him. That's what I've surmised based on the way Mendy talked about him, the way they wouldn't bring him back up, even after he had one good start in AAA. So I am fascinated to hear what David Stearns, the man from Milwaukee, has to say about Kodai Senga. Because about a few days ago, I think I even tweeted, I think he's played his last game as a New York Met. Mm. Let's see if David Stearns offers us any hint on his thoughts on Kodai.
Look, Kodai's had two very inconsistent, challenging years in a row. We know it's in there. We know there's potential. We're going to do everything we can to help get it out of him. But no, can we put him in ink as making 30 starts next year? I think that would be foolish.
Oh, he's gone. I'm right.
Oh, my God. He's gone.
That was as blatant as you could make it.
They hate him.
Be in ink to make 30 starts? No, that's foolish. Go to minor leagues and stay down there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.